It's true. You're still a human being. You still have your own passions and your own interests, and you should follow those things. That doesn't mean that you should neglect your children, but you need to be able to say, make space for yourself. And then in doing so, I think that that will show your children that you have a responsibility to take care of yourself and your self-care. And I think it models something very nice that says, okay, you know, mommy is just going to take a few minutes to herself to relax or something like that. I think that's good. And people don't talk about that enough, but you really do need to hold on to some part of your identity when you become a mother.
Hi, I'm Brooke Raybould. I'm a high-achieving mama with a Georgetown MBA who said no to the corporate world and yes to herself. Trained by two of the top business schools in the country, I fell in love with entrepreneurship and embarked on the biggest startup of my life, my family. Drowning in diapers and laundry, I bootstrapped my way to building a six-figure online business where I was paid to be myself. And now, I'm on a mission to help women ditch the mom memes and build the life they were created for. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom looking to optimize your routines and carve out a little something for yourself, or the savvy woman wanting to do it all, I will break down the systems and strategies that help busy moms get big results. Step on into my stay-at-home office and welcome to the At Home Startup Podcast. On the At Home Startup Podcast, we are going to chat with a doctor, a board certified anesthesiologist who has also been a digital content creator for 13 years before the word content creator was even a thing. Her name is Christina Brawley. And what I love about her story is that she is multi-passionate. She is the anesthesiologist. She's a digital content creator on YouTube and Instagram. She's also the CEO of Cloud9 Scrubs, which is a modern luxury performance brand, and the founder of Amber, AEMBR, a newly launched candle and home fragrance brand. And I just love her story. She's a mom to two. She uses her passions. She goes after it. And she has some really good things to say on how to invest in the things that light you on fire and how to do that as a mom. So welcome, Christina Brawley, to the At Home Startup Podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the At Home Startup Podcast. I love your story, and I really want you to dive in for the mom entrepreneur and tell us about it, because it's been an interesting journey for you, and people get so much out of other people's stories. So I want you to share, maybe starting with becoming an anesthesiologist. I can never say this too, which is going to be a problem on this episode. Okay, break the word down for me, and then I'll let you dive into your story.
Anesthesiologist.
Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You did.
Go for it.
All right. So yeah, no, my name is Christina Brawley. And basically my story starts from when I was a second year medical student. I was in the thick of just studying and trying to survive medical school. And at the time, I always say not to start with a downer, but at the time, my oldest brother was 20 years old, and he was having difficulties with, you know, mental health problems like bipolar, and he actually committed suicide in my second year of medical school. And I remember just being like, there's got to be more to life than just this. Like I was studying suicidality in my psych rotation at the time that he died. And it was just so one-sided. Everything was all about that and death and grief. And everything was like almost like a film of gray over my life. And so I decided, as a form of escapism, which I've always been very good at, I started a blog called Pretty Shiny Sparkly. It was basically opposite of everything that I was feeling at the time. And it grew from there it's morphed into several things, fashion blog, beauty, all just basically covered everything that I loved. And then a few years into, after even residency, I became an anesthesiologist. And a few years into my full-time or a year into my full-time job, I rebranded just as my name, and nobody had known my full name before. And so I had always been doing YouTube at the time. People knew me as Christina, Pretty Shiny Sparkly. That was it. And then I rebranded. And so it's taken off from there. I mean, I've got the Instagram, you know, the usual YouTube, all that stuff. And it's just been such a passion of mine. And over the years, it has then led me to figure out that, you know, basically scrubs can be done better. So I launched last November, I launched Cloud9 Scrubs. That was about a year in the making, luxury modern performance scrubs. And then from there, as of 2 months ago, on the day, 2 months today, I launched a brand called Amber, which is a luxury Nordic inspired, non-toxic, 100% clean home fragrances and candles.
I love this. The theme in your story that I love is it's just like what you want to do. Like if you would have like put everything on paper, you'd be like, wait, she's an anesthesiologist, like YouTuber, like what? Or like she sells candles. So kind of break down for the listener, what calls you to the things that you're called to?
Yeah. I think it all boils down, not to get nitty gritty, but I think it all boils down to my ADHD. I've made a video about this, about how I think my ADHD is my superpower. Those of us who are neurodivergent, we are with ADHD, we tend to follow what interests us. And so we tend to actually be very averse to things that don't interest us. So we won't do things that are very, like, very mundane or we find don't stimulate us. And so I think that's where this all comes from. I've had a lot of time to think about this too. And I always wonder that, like, what am I doing? But the other thing too is I just follow my passions, because following my passions, you know, always ends up leading to my happiness. Whether those passions are successful or not, I think that just being true to yourself and following what drives you is always going to like keep your engine running. You know what I mean? Like if I was stuck in a place where I felt like this is not my true passion anymore, or I was getting a little burnt out, that's when I decided to peel back, scale back a little bit on the anesthesia. That ended up being amazing for my well-being, my mental health. But these things, I think to answer your question, I'm just driven by what interests me. And it might seem random, but ultimately what I really like to do is, number one, I love having a platform to express my creativity, whether that's in fun editing tweaks on my YouTube or sharing my opinion on products and things like that. I love the platform. I love having a platform. And then I love problem solving. So I'll find like, I'll see like a product niche that could be done better. Like my kind of mantra is just like, do it better. So I'll take something and we'll just reinvent it or make it better or make a tweak on it. And it's like, why aren't more people doing it this way? So that's what I did with the candles. Candles are a huge passion of mine. I've talked about candles on my channel for 12 plus years. I've always described them in a very particular way, and fragrances too. Like I love perfume. I just love fragrance. But like there's so many toxins in them. And it was just like, why can't we do this better? And the same with the scrubs. It was just like, there were really no like modern luxury performance scrubs that were truly size inclusive. Mine are up to 5X and just performance fabrics and like a yoga like waistband that I call the cloud band. Things that you just didn't really see in the scrub market.
I love it, because I feel like that's like the essence of entrepreneurship is like being the problem solver. And then what you talked about with your ADHD, I feel like I think that I certainly have that too, although like undiagnosed, but I can like self-diagnose myself, because I think that's what like keeps me going on certain things where maybe somebody else would burn out. I get like hyper-focused. And then like you said, I do have to be careful, especially as a mom, or just as a person in general, right? Like you get so fixated on these things that I can easily, the day can go by and I'm like, wait a second. So how do you, I know that you're a mom to two, how do you balance that if you're anything like me with your interests, your passions? It sounds like your love of like your entrepreneurial spirit, your, you know, the way that your brain works like mine. How do you manage that with regular life?
We have a nanny who is literally my backbone. My husband is also a huge, obviously a huge help. He's like 50% of the parent. But he, you know, we're both very busy. He's an orthopedic surgeon. And so he's constantly working and building a practice and on call at times. And so we have sort of this rock in our household. We call her Yaya, and she is a nanny, caretaker, whatever I need to be. And the thing that I think is really crucial here is, especially, and I don't want this to be an ADHD themed podcast episode, but one of the secrets to my success is things that I don't find inspiring, stimulating, things I don't want to do, like the maybe like a mundane task to me, I outsource what does not interest me so that it makes me time to just fill my day with things that are really interesting to me. And like you mentioned, I will tend to hyper focus and the hours will go by and I'm all of a sudden I've redesigned my website. And it's like, wait, why? I did not intend to do this today, but here we are.
Sure. I'm with you. And I kind of have this theory that I wish maybe more women would consider, you know, if you don't like something in your life, the way that it's happening, unfolding, what then can you do to create a solution, like you said, for that? And so I see your story and I'm like, it's cool that you have gone out and taken the risk to do those things. It's super neat.
Well, thanks. I think to touch on what you said, it's really important for fellow women, would-be entrepreneurs, hopefuls, or current entrepreneurs to remember, and I try to keep this front of mind a lot, is that, you know, as an entrepreneur, your talent is worth money per hour or whatever. You want to think about your time as what it's worth. So for me, my thought is, okay, I could either spend an hour and a half doing laundry several times a week, or what can I do and how can I better spend my time and my talents to make more than that? So like you were mentioning, the thing is to remember as an entrepreneur that anytime you're not spending towards your business or towards something that will end up you're investing in your time in that will end up making money is time that you're not only not making money, but you're losing out on that potential. So you just have to think of everything as how what your time is worth. Basically.
Sure. Definitely. How do you do that within like your entrepreneurial business? So are you still good at outsourcing in like the early stages of that thing that you're fixated on doing?
No.
Does that make sense?
No, I'm not. It makes sense. And no, I'm not very good. I am very like you probably are type A. So I really like, I'm very picky. I'm very particular. So I'm picturing myself like almost like what's that Olympic sport where they like do the brushing on the ice and then let that thing. No, I don't know what it's called anyway, but you know how they're like brushing and brushing and this guy just like very gently kind of like lets it go. And then it just goes on a path that he wanted it to go on. That's like me whenever I start a business. I feel like I'm going to hold on to it to the last second and then I'll start slowly letting go of things that I'm like, okay, I found people that have the same mindset, that have the same goals for my business. Now I'm going to let them handle this aspect. And now I'm going to let this person handle this aspect. For example, with the candle business, it's front of mind because it's very new. 2 months in and we're approaching 2,000 orders in 2 months. And there's no way I can pack and fulfill 2,000 orders and make candles and run the social media and do all of the inventory and the buying and this. So I have found someone, you know, very near and dear to me who I've now hired on to handle all of the fulfillment, packing, shipping, everything. And so when you find like-minded people and you're like, yes, like find people who are smarter than you at something, you know, to help you run your business or, you know, give a task to, like always surround yourself by people who are smarter than you. You've got the forest for the trees, but let people handle the trees that are better at those things than you are, because we're thinking big picture. And so sometimes you just need those people who are very, very focused on those details to make every aspect even better.
Completely. I have a question, because you are a multi-passionate entrepreneur, and I'm sure there's something within what it is that you do that's like the driver of everything. Have you ever had a moment where the driver thing is the thing that you're starting to lose juice on, and then you're then trying to figure out how to keep the other things afloat? Does that make any sense to you? And then what do you do with that situation, or like what have you experienced with that?
Yeah, I think with my scrub business, I think what I found is that what really hurt me was the supply chain issues. And so when I started encountering issues with supply chains, issues, rising costs, things like that, plus the fact that at the time, even through the launch, I was still working full time as an anesthesiologist, it was taking away so much of my time that, you know, if I didn't focus every day or at least every week on it, it was becoming more back of mind for me. And that's not good when you're trying to build a business. So I think most of that was due to burnout, just being in the medical field during COVID and everything. So I was recognizing that I was getting burnt out. And so it was really, really, really helpful to actually step back a little bit from that. And I call myself like basically like I'm recovering from burnout. The past year has been so helpful for that. Like, I feel like I have more fire, more energy. And so I am now, because I did that, I'm kind of refocusing my vision on Cloud Nine Scrubs, for example. And I feel like that fire is coming back.
Are you planning a Disney vacation in the future? If you're like most parents, you will probably wind up at either Disney World or Disneyland wearing matching mouse tees and having the time of your life. But don't make this mistake and ruin your Disney trip like I feel like I did the first time we went to Disneyland. I did zero research. We showed up late. I even forgot Vance's shoes and a stroller. I had no idea what to do, and we walked into lines, crowds, overpriced food, and two parks that I did not understand. Fast forward a few years later, and my boys were invited to go to Disney World, our family was, and I said, absolutely not. I do not want to go back to this park spending thousands and thousands of dollars to walk into this type of a situation. But in true parent fashion, I said yes. However, I became committed to cracking the Disney code. And what I discovered was an entire underground playbook of Disney World secrets. And I put all of that into a guide called A Mom's Guide to Disney World that helps families plan the Disney World vacation of their dreams. And most importantly, it provides you this underground playbook that'll help you bypass some of those hard things about Disney World, like crowds, lines, and overpriced everything. So in the show notes, you can find the link to the guide, and I have a code for you. It is Disney Discount that'll give you $15 off. The guide is usually $40. It's actually quite higher than that, but this code will give you the guide for $25. And the guide is not just 80 pages. It is 200 pages full of itineraries, favorite restaurants in Disney, hotels to stay at, everything you need to know to dominate Disney. So then how in these moments, like as an anesthesiologist, there was that moment when you decided there was going to be a change. It just seems like, and I love this, but I know that not a lot of people are like this. Like, how do you have that faith in yourself? Was it your experience with your brother? Like, or as an entrepreneur, a multi-passionate entrepreneur, do you kind of like dabble in the next thing? Like, how do you operate when you're kind of moving forward in life, making these next game time decisions? Or is it kind of like the natural path presents itself and you're like, that's it, I got to take it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think it's a little bit of everything at the same time. For me, I'm a bit stubborn and I do like to have like a safety net for myself. And I'm not ever one to rely on a spouse or anything like that as a safety net. For me, it's always been about earning my own money, being successful, building a business. Like, it's for me. You know what I mean? Like, that's so for me, you know, I think it was really actually just letting go of something that I was so loyal to for so long. But when I realized it was becoming toxic to my well-being, I was noticing that I was unhappier at home. You know, I'd come home, I'd be grumpy. I was taking my work home with me. And I think I would just be on all day, like trying to take care of people. And then I'd come home and kind of like, okay, So I knew that letting go of something that was becoming toxic, like the burnout, was essential. But I think also what's interesting is that having done what I had done for so long, building this content creation business while I was going through medical school and residency and then beyond. And so that actually is what made me feel comfortable letting go of something for a little while, at least, that was burning me out. So I always just believe in following your happiness or following your passion. I think that that can never stray you wrong, because your goal is happiness. That's your end target is happiness, right?
Absolutely. And to flip the conversation, because I love where your head's at, do you ever feel, I know a lot of women do, they feel that same burnout in motherhood? And unlike entrepreneurship, I think there's so many parallels between being an entrepreneur and being a parent. And when you're a parent with a business or as an entrepreneur, it can be those moments where you say, this isn't working for me. I'm going to make some changes. How do you handle that as a mom, you know, when maybe you hit those same moments?
Yeah. My followers, especially on YouTube and Instagram, will identify with, because I talk about this a lot. I call it a code Walgreens. And that is especially in those like newborn periods where you're just literally smothered. And it's so delicious and wonderful, but at times extremely, extremely hard, like for your mental health, just being like the sole provider for this thing that is helpless. And then, you know, your spouse is going to work and then, you know, whatever. So asking for help, having help is transformational. But code Walgreens, I wish everybody would do this as a new mom. I would just, my husband would come home and I would hand the newborn over and I'd be like, I need to go to Walgreens. It's a code Walgreens. I didn't need to buy anything from Walgreens. And this is not sponsored by Walgreens, but I just like, you know, I just need to aimlessly wander the aisles, maybe pick up a tube of lipstick, basically do something for yourself. And so I'm very good with boundaries and protecting my time. And so I think that's one of the things that I've learned over the years that has really helped, is that I really do carve out time for myself. If that's like the minute the kids go to bed, I'm like sitting down, maybe have a glass of wine, reading books. I love reading books for just like turning off that brain that we can't shut off sometimes about new product ideas or new brand ideas or whatever. But I think really just kind of like when it speaks to motherhood, carving out time for yourself and remembering that your identity doesn't change just because you became a mother. You still have the same passions, same interests, and your time is not 100% meant to be dedicated to your children. I know that may sound taboo to say, but it's true. You're still a human being. You still have your own passions and your own interests, and you should follow those things. And that doesn't mean that you should neglect your children, but you need to be able to say, make space for yourself. And then in doing so, I think that will show your children that you have a responsibility to take care of yourself and your self-care. And I think it models something very nice that says, okay, you know, mommy is just going to take a few minutes to herself to relax or something like that. I think that's good. And people don't talk about that enough, but you really do need to hold on to some part of your identity when you become a mother.
I agree. I think that can so quickly lead to a parent just burning out, being like, this is not even fun anymore. Okay. So I love everything you have to say. Like, what's your favorite thing that you're working on right now? Just out of curiosity.
I mean, right now, because it's so new, but I'm just loving the candle business. Amber, it's just near and dear to my heart. I feel like I'm marrying so many passions, my Norwegian heritage. My dad's from Norway. He came here, immigrated from Norway when he was like 22 years old with like $100 in his pocket, his life savings. And he carved out, you know, a career and a dream. And so it's a nod to my Norwegian heritage. It's marrying my love of fragrance. It's, you know, everything being clean, non-toxic, sustainable. We don't use any plastic in our shipping and anything. It's something that I think speaks to so many value points for me that I just truly love it. And then on top of that, it's sort of intoxicating when you've touched a nerve on something that is vibrating on a level or a frequency that so many people resonate with. And so it's almost taken a life of its own where I'm just like, I was like, I'd be happy to sell like one 10 candles. And the fact that we're like sold out all the time, and when I restock, it sells out in 90 seconds. I literally have no words for that. But it's also like fueling me because I'm like, oh my God, this is like, I gotta make more, and then it just inspires so many more ideas. So the things I'm working on for that and scaling that business, and I have so many ideas for new product lines, for the brand, and 2023 is going to be amazing for it. And I'm very excited about it.
Okay. I have a selfish question on the candle front. Are you, and for the listener, because a lot of listeners, and I love what you said about having a platform, because I think there is like having a platform is now at our fingertips, right? Like we can express ourselves through writing. We can express ourselves through podcasts. We can express ourselves through video. And I think it's wonderful. Are you, for the listener, which the first point is like, start that platform because you can express yourself and that gives you even more opportunity. Say the listener doesn't have a platform and they're wanting to start an entrepreneurial thing. My question is always, are you, and there's nothing wrong with like, I think like having the platform is like why you have it. Do you sell the bulk of your scrubs and your candle through your platform, or do you have a strategy there? And there's no right or wrong answer. It's like you have the platform, you have the opportunity, people can buy. Tell me about that. Because I'm selfishly interested in like, do you just focus on your audience or are you going out to cold audiences, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And that's why I always struggle with this answer because it's not typical, my route, right? Usually people come up with a product first and then they create a brand around it. But I always say start with a brand because you have to be very singular in your vision about what your product lines and what your kind of ethos will be. But I think that the biggest thing is that yes, I went about it backwards, but you have to think of it like I may have launched a candle brand 2 months ago, but that candle brand has really been in existence for 13 years. And the reason why is because you have to think about, okay, maybe it took 13 years for this business to become successful. It just launched 2 months ago, but I have been investing my time unpaid for the majority of those 13 years in my community and building a community. And now only then am I able to leverage that audience into my passions and creating brands and products that I think are done better. So I think that, you know, it is a little bit backwards, but I will say that like you, if you just invest in your community and create a community, then the natural success towards selling your product will come. But I think the biggest thing is not always pitching your products to people. You have to become like build a community. So if you're a brand and your brand account on Instagram, you need to do a day in the life. You need to show behind the scenes. You need to do interactive things and questions. And what do you want to see? And just make it fun and make it like a value proposition for them to follow you. Even though I already have a community, I show the people who follow the Amber Instagram account. I'll show them like what's coming up, but I won't show it anywhere else. And so I'll just be like, you follow me. This is what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you a candle that won't come out for like another month or so. So just, you know, creating the community, maybe not backwards like I did, but just at the same time, focusing on that on the day to day, I think is really, really helpful.
So interesting that selfishly, once again, I'm like, that's what I needed to hear. As you know, even as someone with a platform, I feel like sometimes I don't know if you get this way, but you know, I do the same thing. I put out this Disney guide because I was like, moms have to know how to do Disney. And then, you know, I was like, for my time, like I've got to charge people for it. And yes, but I love what you said, like you've invested like what maybe people didn't see, because some people gave me pushback, you know, why are you charging for this? Or I think it's true. It's, you know, the years that you've invested in creating what you have is a business entity. And I do think about that with, you know, as a content creator where people are like, oh, it's just, you're just showing your life, you know.
No, it's always a business. People may not realize that about me, even my own followers. I treat everything as a business. Everything is about earning potential. And it may not be like the sexiest thing to say, but your time is worth money. Your advice is worth money. Your recommendations are worth money. Now, that doesn't always pass on to your follower, right? So maybe brands or sponsors or something are paying for that expertise, for that insight, for the community that you've created and tapping into that audience. But the thing I'll always remind people is when you offer something for sale, they are not obligated to buy it. Think about that again. When you offer something for sale, they are not obligated to buy it. So that doesn't mean that you should offer something for free. You can offer something. It has a price. This is what my time and my expertise and my experience are worth. You don't have to purchase it.
Absolutely. I love it. I was like hanging on every word this episode. I feel like I'm like, just tell me everything that goes on in that head of yours, because I like the way you think. I know that the listeners certainly got something out of it. And thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Christina.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun. We have to do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Wow. I hope you enjoyed listening to Christina and I's conversation. I know I kept saying, selfishly, I want to know what you do about this. And I think that's the beauty of this podcast is I know that people, you know, you're a listener right now, but I am just as curious when I'm talking to these guests as you are. So I am fully invested in what they have to say. Christina did a beautiful job of explaining what she's done with her life and trusting that intuition and those fiery passions, going after it and trusting that the thing that came after that is going to be even better, and not getting hung up on, oh no, like this candle business could be the worst idea ever, but really connecting the dots. It's like that Steve Jobs quote where, you know, you can't connect the dots looking forward, but you can connect them when you look back. And so even if what you're maybe thinking about doesn't make sense right now, I think it will. I think it'll make total sense. And if it's calling out to you, I say, go for it. Like, is it a candle business? Is it to put up a YouTube video? Is it to start a blog? Is it to put out a scrubs company? So I'm so glad you've got to listen to Christina's story today. And always remember that sometimes you just have to switch out the playbook. Until next time on the At Home Startup Podcast.